criticism. Remove and prevent. Is this an important topic? Criticism? How much focus should one direct to this topic? Mary Baker Eddy states in a letter to one of her students, the title was about vision, and she says, can you focus no matter what comes your way? She referred to focus on true vision. Can one focus on true vision? Can one focus on the truth no matter what mesmerism or hypnotism or any other kind of evil tries to suggest something that is ungodlike? Mary Baker Eddy stated that her most effective and instantaneous healings came about when she got Mary out of the way and focused strictly on good, on perfection. One, if not the most famous police commissioners of all time, cleaned up one of the largest cities in the U.S., which at the time had been considered one, if not the most corrupt city. And this was a unified action because at the same time, the population was so disgusted with the corruption that they elected a brand new mayor who ended up probably being the best mayor of all cities of all time. And therefore, the unified effort of the mayor with the police commissioner, which he had appointed, provided a team that was absolutely excellent. The reason for mentioning this is that this is basically what we are dealing with in considering the topic of criticism. For that relates directly to the patient, which is our own individual consciousness, our body, which is everything in our entire existence. Anything that we give thought to is our body. And being born under the universal belief of life, truth, and intelligence being in matter, material sense, mortal mind, evil, born a sinner, these are all beliefs, universal beliefs, which end up being inherited or innate in a so-called material sense of body. The city had the same thing. The mayor and his police commissioner inherited a very corrupt body of a city that had to be thoroughly sterilized and protected to support the ongoing cleanliness which they were tasked to bring about. One of the very significant things about the police commissioner was he wrote a book, and the theme of it was, if there is no accountability, it does not get done. Mary Baker Eddy, when she stated that her best healings and most of all of her healings that were instantaneous were accomplished when she got Mary out of the way. And one way that contributed enormously to that is that she stopped herself in whatever she was doing several times a day, specifically to make sure that her focus was on spirit, perfection, good, and not matter, imperfection, or evil. She was accountable to herself. The police commissioner had various reports, meetings, and so forth to monitor the progress. He required the standard of the people under his jurisdiction, which was the entire police force of the city, to follow this standard of accountability. Good managers in a regular business, no matter what the type of business it is, establishes the same kind of a discipline. Mary Baker Eddy delivered to us a manual, and one of the sections in the manual is under the title of discipline. One of those subcategories is rules for motives and acts. She has daily prayer. She established the tenets. Mary Baker Eddy was a very structured and systematic individual. She could not have accomplished what was accomplished in the short number of years that were involved if there had been any room for laziness, deviation from the correct path in any way. She put forth 39 specific topics that are called the Household 39 for her household members to study at the beginning of every day. 39. Even in written form, there's some 8 or 9 pages, and they include references from the Bible, Science and Health, her other writings. They cover those important provisions mentioned from the discipline category in the manual, and the sequence in which they are presented is a sequence that is spiritually strategic. Every phase of the way she conducted her life indicated her exact compliance with divine principle in having a spiritual structure and associated system. Mr. Rossin, one of the finest practitioners of all time, said we should strive to demonstrate everything physically from a spiritual standpoint, such that we should not need to do things physically, but be able to accomplish what is needed to be accomplished mentally. He was in a shooting contest, which was a sport using rifles, and he demonstrated this by getting his thought so closely aligned with God that he ended up shooting the gun, pulling the trigger, without looking at the target and without facing the target. And of course, it was a bullseye, winning the tournament. Mary Baker Eddy took a drive every day, and it was apparently at the same time an example of how she demanded her staff to think spiritually about everything they were doing. When they would deliver her food, if she didn't sense that it was prepared in the atmosphere of love and delivered that same way, she would have it returned with new food being prepared. While she was on her drive every day, she had her room cleaned, and they were required to move all the furniture so that the cleaning could be thoroughly done. And she insisted that they not measure where everything was in order to return it to its rightful place, but she encouraged them to metaphysically demonstrate the exact location of every piece of furniture, to put it in the right place so that when she returned, she would be able to easily recognize that it was all done through principle. The divine mind, not mortal mind or human methods. How does one remove any criticism in thought and prevent criticism from entering thought? Defining it is simple. Follow the example of Mary Baker Eddy and the other ones mentioned so far, as well as, of course, Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus certainly was able to focus no matter what came his way. It didn't matter whether he was presented with a blind man or a so-called dead young girl or his friend Lazarus or 10 lepers. The problem, which was really the symptom, did not gain the attention of Christ Jesus. What gained the attention of Christ Jesus was God, the only cause and creator, the preserver of man, immortality, not mortality, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. That was what gained the attention of Christ Jesus. And obviously the attention of anyone that is a successful healer overcoming the false belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, or mortal mind, or mesmerism, hypnotism, electricity, anything that is unlike God. Spirit, not matter. Mind, not mortal mind. Spiritual sense of soul, not a false personal sense of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. The balance, the system and structure of principle, not chaos. Eternal life, a life which is following and executing the laws of God, the qualities of God, the consciousness of truth, the motive of purity, the flawlessness of spirit in our motive and in our consciousness. No deviation from the fast track to success. That fast track to success, which is the only true path to success, is realizing, respecting, and following the truth that there is nothing but God. And God is what these terms have been stating. God is not a person, not a man, not a woman, not something esoteric that cannot be identified. God is qualities, spiritual qualities, bigger than anything that could be described in material terms. For God is infinite. There is no word to describe infinite other than possibly the word unlimited. But it's like it needs to be felt. We have to have a feeling about freedom. No limitations whatsoever in any direction, as long as everything is spiritual. Our freedom is within spirit, within life, truth, and love. We cannot have the freedom to be ignorant, for mind, with a capital M, which is one of the primary seven terms for God, is immortal, intelligent, wise, and knowing. Mind is the only creative force, the only action, the only capacity, facility, capability, functionality. That's where our freedom is. It's not freedom to be sinful. It's not freedom to even think about being sinful. It's not free to even give the appearance of being evil. Accountability? You better believe it. It is the requirement to be 100% devoted to and following the qualities of God. That's the idea on the system, on how to remove any belief of criticism and how to prevent any suggestion of criticism. It's very simple to define once we understand, have an appreciation for what God is. The execution is totally independent of what has been said. The execution is individual hunger that is such a burning desire that comes about as a result of being totally disgusted with following a path that is the opposite. And by opposite, I mean there cannot be one inkling of mixture. There's no alloy here. There's no dilution, no deflection. It is the pure, flawless spirit that must be guiding. Mortal cannot be mixed with immortal. Matter cannot be mixed with spirit. Personal sense cannot be mixed with spiritual sense. Chaos cannot be mixed with system and structure of principle. Death, laziness, cannot be mixed with the vitality of spiritual life, the eternal nature, the multiplication that is automatic in living the life of God. Mary Baker Eddy's last words written before she left invisible form was, "God is my life." Life life was not in any physical thing. It was in spirit. Truth cannot be mixed with error. Think about having an error in the foundation of a tall building. You're off just a little bit with your mathematics in calculating the dimensions of the structure. Or in the elements. If we're going to build a structure and we expect that structure to be lasting, we want the elements to be pure. We want them to be quality, not used because they're the cheapest thing available. Someone that said that we will receive the service from something that we have purchased that is based on how we care for it, how we maintain it. And they showed me a few examples. A car that looked like new, but it wasn't. A pair of shoes that were not new, but they looked like it. We need to take care of our consciousness like we want it to last. It needs to be like new, fresh. The elements of removing criticism from thought and to be able to prevent it from entering in the future is a standard procedure. The execution is individual, totally dependent upon whether or not we want to move to a better life. By the way, he was one of the very early ones that discovered Mary Baker Eddy and what she was doing. And she appointed him as a lecturer to travel all around the U.S. And remember, the mode of transportation then was horse and buggy or train, depending on where you were going. And she felt he had a clear enough understanding to be able to pass the message on. And she had confidence that he would stay on the track. So when he gives us a topic for us to consider and learn from and explore and internalize ourselves, you can be assured that it was an evolution from getting trained and taught by Mary Baker Eddy herself. It is encouraged that if one wants to advance on the fast track in their spiritual life, which is really the only life there is, that one gives serious focus to things such as what is enumerated in the recording and on the pages, I think it's about a page and a half, of text from Dr. Fluno in the article on criticism. There are some references that are related to this topic of removing and preventing criticism from controlling one or being a part of one at all. And one is from Jesus, Matthew 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure she meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Consider that for a moment, and I believe one could easily come to the conclusion that once we get the beam out of our own eye, we're not going to be seeing any mote in thy brother's eye. We're going to be like Jesus, seeing the perfect man and being able to heal the situation because we are seeing spiritually and not in a limited form, trying to look through a pair of glasses darkly or looking into a big fog or a mist, something that is going to make the vision unclear. Here's a quotation from Miscellaneous Writings from Mary Baker Eddy, page 336. Do you love that which represents God most, His highest idea as seen today? No. Then you would hate Jesus if you saw Him personally and knew your right obligations toward Him. He would insist on the rule and demonstration of divine science, even that you first cast out your own dislike and hatred of God's idea, the beam in your own eye, that hinders your seeing clearly how to cast the mote of evil out of others' eyes. You cannot demonstrate the principle of Christian Science and not love its idea. We gather not grapes of thorns, nor figs of thistles. Where art thou? We must remember, Mary Baker Eddy stated, when she looked for perfection, that is when she had her greatest demonstrations of healing. The thorns and the thistles are not a part of looking for perfection. Here's another quotation from Miscellaneous Writings, Chapter 2, titled One Cause and Effect, beginning on page 26. The Scriptures name God as good, and the Saxon term for God is also good. From this premise comes the logical conclusion that God is naturally and divinely infinite good. How then can this conclusion change, or be changed to mean that good is evil, or the creator of evil? What can there be besides infinity? Nothing. Therefore, the science of good calls evil nothing. In divine science, the terms God and good as spirit are synonymous. That God good creates evil or ought that can result in evil, or that spirit creates its opposite, named matter, are conclusions that destroy their premise and prove themselves invalid. Here is where Christian Science sticks to its text, and other systems of religion abandon their own logic. Here also is found the pith of the basal statement, the cardinal point in Christian Science, that matter and evil including all in harmony, sin, disease, and death, are unreal. Mortals accept natural science, wherein no species ever produces its opposite. Then why not accept divine science on this ground? Since the scriptures maintain this fact by parable and proof, asking, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Here's another one along the same theme from Jesus, also from Matthew 7, beginning verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Mary Baker Eddy stated on page 146 of Science and Health, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. It seems reasonable to consider the word disease as anything that is unlike God, a dis-ease. That could include everything that is unlike God, whether it's classified as sin, sickness, disease, death, any kind of inharmony whatsoever. Anything that is unlike any of the seven synonymous terms for God, which, to repeat, along with the four operators, define God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Now, by operators, I'm referring to what Mary Baker Eddy calls the four sides of the city, and it is related in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, and that has been defined as being the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word could be considered to be the facts about God. The Christ could be considered to be the translation, so that we are translating any possible thought of material matter, mortality, personal sense, false sense of life, error, or the lack of love, anything along that line could be considered as a need to translate to the spiritual, the counterfact of what appears to be something unlike God. That's the translation. We want to be focusing on the spiritual view. Christianity is thinking about the facts and making sure they're translated to a spiritual view and utilizing that to practice it, to demonstrate, to prove the nothingness of any problem that seems to be presenting itself. The healing, demonstrating is healing. Christianity is utilizing the healing benefits in our daily life. And science is having demonstrated it, we are then living in the perfect heaven here on earth. The heaven that is within, available to be realized within individual consciousness. The four operators of the system of divine metaphysics that Mary Baker Eddy refers to performs the functionality necessary in order to activate in a systematic and structured way for individual use, much like the operators of mathematics and music. Math has 10 digits, 0 to 9, but without having the basic functionality of the operators of add, subtract, multiply, and divide, the digits by themselves have very little significance. The same with music. The notes in music, A to G, must have the keys and other operators which enable the result to be a harmonious melody. And the keys combine with other things that are the operators of music to bring about a melody that is harmonious. If these rules of harmony are violated, then the result is not a melody of harmony, but noise. The same with mathematics. The building comes tumbling down if the rules of mathematics are broken in the architectural design and the materials that are utilized in building the building. One of the books that is a wonderful reference for learning what these synonymous terms for God mean is a book by Helen Wright, the founder of the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, and the title of that book is Your Divinity Revealed, and that's available on our website, and at this time it's free. There's a chapter on each one of the seven synonymous terms for God. That book explains how the various terms connect with each other for a natural unfoldment of progress. The system of divine metaphysics explains how the terms for one synonymous term for God combines with other ones in a grand network where everything works together in one infinite unity. The trees in the northwest part of California, which are called redwood sequoia trees, have a root system that bond with each other. That's why they stay upright and resist fire, storm, lightning, all kinds of hazards from a material sense standpoint, and they survive. I believe they're considered the oldest and the tallest trees that exist, dating back thousands of years. One tree had a section carved out of it, large enough to run a regular size car through the middle of the trunk. As far as I know, it is still standing. And that had been done many decades ago. I haven't read the history of how that came about, why it was done, whether there was some kind of special circumstance that encouraged it to be done. But I do know that because of the unity of the root system, that gives strength to any single tree. For it is a part of the unified total network. We are all, as brethren, connected to one grand network of everything in the universe. That's one thing that's easy to think of, or should be considered quickly, when one has the temptation to criticize another. We better look in the mirror, because we are criticizing the one that we see in the mirror. Do unto others. When we criticize another, we are criticizing ourselves, for we are all connected. Whether we see the spiritual nature of others as we would like to have others see the spiritual nature of ourselves is an individual salvation that must be worked out in order to advance. As Mr. Rawson stated, when he healed a man that had a load of rocks dumped on him, and he witnessed the event, and he healed the man where the man jumped out from under the rocks without a scratch on him. Mr. Rawson had the concept very clear in his thinking that there is nothing but God. He is one of the most advanced Christian Science practitioners of all time, and he wrote a book that is titled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer, in which he mentions 1,315 different potential problems that someone could face and what the belief is about the problem, in other words, the symptom, in very brief terms. And he then provides the counterfact, which is the spiritual truth about the true functionality of whatever the problem seems to be. For example, if someone breaks their arm, he gives the counterfact to what the purpose of the arm is. That's the spiritual nature of the arm. That's just a quick example. But anyway, 1,315 different ones. That book is available on the website. Just click on his picture. It is up in the header, which is the top part of every page, and it will take you to his index, and you can also download or view at the present time for free all of his wonderful books that are an enormous education that would assist in advancing one spiritually in their life. When he saw the rocks dumped on the man, did he criticize what may have caused that to happen? The people that might be involved, or whatever situation might have an impact on bringing that about? Or did he go directly to God and affirm the truth like Christ Jesus or Mary Baker Eddy would have done? He followed in the same path. He said, there is nothing but God. Amen.